The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Nothing perfect or consistent, but we're so damn good. It's the story of your life.
Bonjour, hi Canada, Hugh Hewitt. I am so glad to be with you on this January 21st, 2021. 2121. Welcome and good morning to you. I hope you enjoyed watching the inaugural ceremonies yesterday. Every 4 years, whether my team has won or lost, and we lost this year, I'm very disappointed that President Trump lost. But whether or not we win or lose, and I'm about 50-50, Ford lost, Reagan won, Bush won, then... of course, Bush lost, then Bob Dole lost, then W won, then who did we nominate after
McCain?
W. Then McCain lost, then Romney lost, then Trump won, and now Trump lost. So that makes me, I bat 500. And by the way, if you're a youngster listening, you're going to bat 500 too. Just understand, nobody wins forever. You can try and move, you can try and realign, you can incrementally improve, but I'll take the last 4 years over Secretary Clinton as probably the most decisive 4 years that could possibly have been because of the Supreme Court and rebuilding the military, end of argument, and the 50 appeals court judges. And that will become clear as we move on. Interesting to me that President Trump left a very gracious letter for President Biden on the Resolute desk. That has not been widely reported. I want you to know that. That's a tradition that was participated in. I was glad to see Vice President Pence at the inaugural. I wish the President Trump had gone, but that was not his style, to each their own. I particularly would like to know what you thought of the inaugural address. 1-800-520-1234. Here is the part of the inaugural address I liked the most. Cut number one.
We must end this uncivil war that pits red against blue, rural versus urban, or rural versus urban, conservative versus liberal. We can do this if we open our souls instead of hardening our hearts, if we show a little tolerance and humility, and if we're willing to stand in the other person's shoes, as my mom would say, just for a moment, stand in their shoes.
That is my favorite part of the address by far. I'm going to play it again. My number is 1-800-520-1234. Maybe you like something else. Here is again the key appeal of President Biden from the Capitol yesterday. Cut one.
We must end this uncivil war that pits red against blue. Rural versus urban, conservative versus liberal. We can do this if we open our souls instead of hardening our hearts, if we show a little tolerance and humility, and if were willing to stand in the other person's shoes, as my mom would say, just for a moment, stand in their shoes.
I think that's very well put. In fact, I went on NBC as one of their conservative commentators after the speech was done, paired up with my old friend David French, with whom I've disagreed more recently on a lot of things, but we go back 20 plus years. And we have this conversation with Savannah, cut number two.
Okay, I'm going to turn now to Hugh Hewitt. He's a radio talk show host, author, and NBC News political contributor. And Hugh, you've also been a supporter of the president. I think I'm also joined by David French, an author and political commentator, senior editor of The Dispatch, another prominent conservative voice. And so let's talk about the future of the Republican Party. Hugh, I'll start with you. You have been a supporter of the president's, former president of President Trump. And you heard that message today from President Biden saying to those who didn't support him in the election, hear me out, essentially give me a chance. Do you think that's possible?
Oh, yes. I thought it was a very fine speech. I think it started today. People will give him a chance. I particularly found appealing, we must end this uncivil war, Savannah. And that's actually an appeal to everyone who is on social media, everyone who appears as I am right now, as David is about to tone it down, turn it lower, listen. He quoted his mother, put yourself in other people's shoes. He appealed to Lincoln's better angels. It's not going to be recalled as the greatest bit of rhetoric that's ever been done in an inaugural event, but that appeal to end the uncivil war, which is far beyond Washington, it's in every dining room, it's in every restaurant, it's often been across social media. That was, for me, a much welcome moment. And I do believe that he can be very useful in getting people to gentle down.
You know, I'm going to turn to you, David, about this very topic. I mean, this notion of healing and what it takes to heal and unify. And we saw what happened on January 6th, and it certainly seems that that has been, so far, an inflection point and a place where many Americans are saying, okay, that's too far, that's enough, it's time for us to lower the temperature, as Hugh just said.
Yeah, you know, what you have to realize is that millions and millions of Americans have been fed a steady diet of really grotesque misinformation, that Joe Biden will end the United States of America, that the Democrats want to sort of end the church and destroy the American Christian church, an unbelievable diet of misinformation that has led to a lot of radicalization. And that radicalization led to the January 6th attack that has sort of shocked a lot of Americans and woken them, awakened them to the challenge right now of this deep, deep division. And so I looked at that inauguration speech as Joe Biden addressing those sort of persuadable Americans who are shocked by where this country is right now and saying to them, look, what I want to do is to restore an environment where disagreement is normal again. It does not escalate into deep division. And that's part of the magic of the American democracy and the American Constitutional Republic, is we have created a system that allows for disagreement without deep division. And I thought that was one of the most important aspects of the speech, along with the pageantry around it. When you have sort of a pop culture icon of Red America singing Amazing Grace, Garth Brooks singing Amazing Grace, it's a symbol, I think, of cultural, powerful cultural and religious symbol that Joe Biden is saying, I want to be president, for all of those Americans who are open to being persuaded to sort of join me in lowering the temperature, as you said.
And to hear Senator Blunt say, Amazing Grace, that's as close as we have to a national song and a national prayer, something that we can do collectively, that, as we all know, to give me license here for a moment, music is a healer, Hugh, we really do know. The president also talked about that reclaiming of truth, and David just spoke eloquently about it, about this feast of lies that have been put out there. How do you feel about that? Do you think that we can turn the page on this era in which, you know, the old saying was you're entitled to your own opinion, you're not entitled to your own facts, but it has seemed that we've entered an era, Hugh, where people do seem to have their own facts, and that you're not operating on a shared set of truth and fact. And do you feel that we may be able to leave that in our past now?
I think at the margins, that's always going to be difficult to get away from, because in a nation of 330 million, there's going to be a 1% on each end that are going to invent their own reality. But I'll point to yesterday, Savannah. Secretary Pompeo declared genocide in China against the Uyghur people. Later that afternoon, Tony Blinken, his incoming replacement, confirmed that they both agree on that. Yesterday, Tony Blinken said, we're leaving the embassy in Jerusalem. That's something on which he agrees with the previous administration. I thought, in fact, most of the testimony I saw yesterday of soon-to-be cabinet members was consistent with the 98% in the middle. So I don't have any hope of kumbaya from the far left or the far right. That's not going to happen. But what David was talking about, the ability to have the conversation, for example, on the upcoming immigration debate. We've done this in 2006. We did this in 2013. This is the third time in 15 years that we will search for an immigration compromise. I hope we get there. It cannot be accomplished at a higher decibel. It has to be accomplished.
Let's pause there for a moment because we're going to run low on time. 1-800-520-1234. What did you think of President Biden's inaugural address? 1-800-520-1234. Connection to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt in the morning, bringing you to work. I'm sure you are going to work today. It is a Thursday, and of course, you're going to be out there. I want to start in the east and move to the west. People reacting to President Biden's inaugural address. Sean in Florida, what did you think, Sean?
Hello, you there?
Yes, indeed. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. When I heard what you said, I was aghast. The first thing the Democrats do when they win is they say that we need to heal our wounds and be together as one nation. Yet they're going to move to impeach Trump after he's left office. If Joe Biden really means what he says, he should be the one that calls into your radio show and says to the entire world that Trump should not be impeached. He did the best job he could, and it's time for us to move on as one country.
Let me play for you a little Biden left from last night. Hang on, Sean. Don't go away. Cut number 9.
The president wrote a very generous letter. I have it's because it was private. I will talk about it until I talk to him, but it was generous.
So, Sean, I think you're right. It would be great because the trial's unconstitutional. But it's not just Democrats who do that. Abraham Lincoln is most famous for both inaugurals calling for unity.
Well, I'll believe it when I see some action on it. After they've burned the cities, raped people, killed people.
Sean, okay. They have not raped people. They have not killed people. They didn't burn the city. It was actually a fringe group of extremists who attacked the Capitol, not Democrats. Ruth in Pittsburgh, what do you think, Ruth?
Hi, Mr. Hewitt. I don't think you're going to see unity because of what Sean said, and I know from the people I talk to, they feel.
But are you personally, Ruth, willing to accept it if it shows up?
They got to apologize for all they've done to us.
No, I mean, just forget apologies. Just if everyone just tones it down, are you willing to accept it?
We are too different in how we want to see America. And can I say something about your quoting his speech with George Washington and Abraham Lincoln?
He didn't quote Washington, just Lincoln, better angels.
he did say something about George Washington.
But I didn't. Okay, but you, I didn't mention that. But I just cited the fact that.
Listen, do you know Potter County? Of course you do. You're from Ohio. That's after General James Potter, my ancestral uncle. These were substantial people, and he is no Abraham Lincoln. And after all they did.
Well, I think you heard me say that, Ruth. Ruth, I understand. It sounds like you're a little bit angry, and I appreciate that. But
they've been beating us up for 4 years.
I get that. I'm just saying there's a chance here for the right to lay down the rhetorical swords as well, and it would be in the best interest if we did on both sides for a period of time. Not disagree. We're going to disagree with the immigration bill completely, but to lay down rhetorical swords for a while. But I appreciate the call. Tom in Moreno Valley, California. Tom?
Morning, Hugh. Can you hear me?
I do, indeed. Good morning. You're up early.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was tuning in. Love to hear your opening comments. You know, fresh off the cuff on the East Coast there. So, I do some night surveillance at a little center here. So, it's always a good way to get tuned in there.
Good.
But I'm an even tempered guy. I don't own a gun. I think what happened at the Capitol a week ago was horrendous. Although I think it was filled with other, you know, troublemakers. But Hugh, I think this the Biden's got the white beaters complex. Oh, honey, I love you, I love you, I love you. Slap, 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 slap. I love you, I love you. Slap, slap, slap. Look what they're doing. Look at the actions. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, these people out, they're not only taking our pants off, they want to take the American public's pants off. It's horrible.
I don't know that that's correct. I'll wait and see what comes forward. I know that yesterday China, our real enemy, sanctioned Mike Pompeo, Peter Navarro, Robert O'Brien, David Stilwell, Matt Pottinger, Alex Azar, Keith Krack, Kelly Kraft, and many others, John Bolton, Steve Bannon, and banned them from China. I think it is useful to remember that most Americans have to stand shoulder to shoulder against the real adversary in the world, which is the Chinese Communist Party and the Russian cyber security services and Putin. That's what we really need to do. So we've got to put aside political differences and focus on the real adversary. Give them a chance not to screw us. That's all I'm asking. Give them a chance not to screw us. They might. We'll see. Stay tuned.
Can you imagine that slice of time? Rock and roll was young people's student line. To hear music that played into their lives. That you could carry till the day you die. Hey man, sing me a song. When we were everyone, we were more than just a slice of American pie. Have you read my
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. January 21st, first full day of President Biden's tenure, asking Americans what they think of the inaugural address. Brian in Pittsburgh. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Hugh. I liked it. I thought it was excellent. I especially liked the young woman poet. I believe her name is Miss Gorman.
Yeah, she was terrific.
Just awesome. She was. Her one line was, "We are not a broken nation, but an unfinished nation." And you, I think that's where it's at. We're all longing for this perfect society from our ideological backgrounds, right or left. It just isn't happening, but we can shoot for us becoming a more perfect union. You, we've got to, as Christians, look for the truth. You're good at this. Believe the good in others. You say they're wrong, not rotten. I think we all need to pick up that mantle, especially as Christians, as American Christian Americans.
I couldn't agree more, Brian. I appreciate that. Yeah. By the way, what were you doing at 21? I wasn't delivering a major speech and poem in front of an audience of hundreds of millions around the world.
No, I could barely tie my shoes at 21. So
she was remarkable, Ms. Gorman.
Yes. She was lovely and brilliant. Thank you. God bless you, buddy.
You too, Brian. Be well. Let's go to another Pittsburgher. They're busy this morning. Ron, how are you, Ron?
I'm good. How about you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, Baker Mayfield fan here.
Good for you. You got a winner. They'll pick up his fifth-year option. I hope extend the contract sometime between now and the start of next season. He's the guy.
Oh, absolutely. Anyway, on Biden, I just don't believe he's going to follow through for what he said yesterday. I mean, why would you think that whenever for the last last year while he's been running, he's done nothing but crush anybody that doesn't have the same value as him?
It's a fair question. When you run for president, if you're a Republican, you have to run right. And if you're a Democrat, you have to run left. And in the main show, you have to run against another person. As president, I mean, George H.W. Bush ran the toughest campaign possible against Mike Dukakis. It was brutal. And then George H.W. Bush was the absolute nicest president we've had and a man of the middle for 4 years. Now, he got rolled on the tax pledge, but generally he governed from the center right. So I'm hoping that Biden governs from the center left. So don't confuse campaigns with governance. That's my hope here. And I'm willing to see if it happens that way.
Oh, I hope it does. But I just think that his idea of us coming together is me giving up my values to go along with him.
Well, that won't work. And we will see early on in the immigration bill, because there are two non-negotiables from both sides. I'll write about this in the Washington Post today. The non-negotiable on the conservative side is no wall, no deal. It's got 350 miles to go. 450 miles have been built. That's a non-negotiable from the conservatives. No wall, no deal. The non-negotiable on the liberal side and the left side is no path to citizenship, no deal. So if each side recognizes the other side's non-negotiable and works around it, we'll get a deal and the politics of compromise will be back. Let's wait and see. Thank you, Ron. Let's see. I mean, just give it a chance. Lawton in Atlanta. Good morning, Atlanta. Good to talk to you, Lawton.
Good morning, Hugh. I echo the thoughts of the earlier caller that President Biden, he needs to pick up the phone and call Nancy and call this off. If he does that, then I think we have a beginning of a real healing of the country.
I agree with you. Because, number one, it's unconstitutional. They haven't even sent over the articles yet. Chief Justice isn't going to preside. It's unprecedented. It's so unconstitutional to hold an impeachment for someone who's left office. Don't believe the pointy-headed professors who say it isn't. Just read the Constitution. For the purposes of removing and barring from office is why you do it. The president, the vice president, and other officials. It's right there in black and white. You cannot impeach a former official. And if they do so, they will be inviting charges of revenge politics. Now, it's not Biden's call. It's Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi's call. But Biden can weigh in, and I hope the president does.
Well, he can weigh in big, and you know that, Hugh. He can weigh in big time.
I hope he does.
The whole message of healing the country. The other thing, if he wants to get some of his legislature, some of his programs going, why have it clouded with an impeachment when he's trying to launch all these things?
I agree. There is a huge opportunity right in front of him. Huge opportunity.
Absolutely.
He just
has
to take it.
Thank you, Hugh.
Thank you, my friend. Good to talk to you. Joe in L.A., you're up early, Joe.
Oh, I always get up early to listen to you, Hugh.
Oh, that's refreshing. Thank you.
That's not necessarily the truth.
I know, but I'll take it.
I do turn you on when I go to the little room with the porcelain receptacles.
I bet. Then you can't get back to sleep because I'm absolutely so entrancing.
Exactly, but I've been doing that for years.
Okay.
I appreciated and had hope with that part of the speech. However, the speech also has places where it calls for a purge against those who supported the actions at the Capitol.
I didn't hear that.
In so many words, it says that.
You know, I think
it.
I want to debate that for a second. Joe, I want to debate that for a second.
Okay.
The new president did not call for a purge of normal people. Like me, he wants everyone arrested and tried who entered the Capitol, and I hope you do too.
Thank you. Then let me clarify. I don't think his party will – I don't trust his party. I don't trust Pelosi and Schumer to stop the rhetoric that brought us here. They're the deceivers in chief. They're the ones who consistently call us evil and have painted us into the corner where people would do that and think that that's not irresponsible.
Well, I do believe they are the biggest offenders, and we will see if the president moderates their behavior. I hope he does. Hey, Joe, thank you. I got to do a market report because yesterday was quite the market day. It's brought to you by Birch Gold. Birch Gold is where you go to buy gold, where you go to shift 10 to 25% of your IRA or 401k into physical metals that they store for you. Now, I am a prophet of doom when it comes to inflation. People know that. If you've listened to me for a long time, you cannot print $5 trillion, soon to be $7 trillion in new money, and not have that much money chase too few goods and result in inflation. I saw today, for example, restaurant gets sales lift from latest stimulus checks. McDonald's owner, Checkers, TGI Fridays. Others report January boost. That's a $600 check that's rolling into every adult in America who qualifies. And they're going out to spend it on what they're called cheap calories, calories that don't cost very much. And they're going out, and that's okay. That's a good way to spend it. I'm glad restaurants are getting a boost. But that money is going to be followed by more money. And $5 trillion, you know where else it's showing up? In the stock market, where prices are becoming inflated. Yesterday, the Dow went up 257 points. The NASDAQ went up 260 points. Unbelievable. The S&P went up 52 points. You know that I own Amazon. It's the only stock I own. Otherwise, I just do mutual funds because I'm not smart enough to invest against professionals. I own Amazon because I use Amazon. It's one of the great Warren Buffett admonitions, which is buy what you know, and I know Amazon. Amazon went up $142 yesterday, almost 4.5%. That's like a year-long dividend. It's at 3,263. I don't know what it's going to do today. Nobody does. It could, you know, crash to zero. It could go to 5,000. I think inflation is going to keep stocks up. But one thing you've got to be aware of is that when inflation comes, gold is your friend. Gold today is up again to $1,871 an ounce. That's 0.28% higher than it was yesterday. That's not a hot stock. It's just a steady rise. And as inflation steadily appears, gold will rise. Buy your gold from Birch Gold. Text my name, Hugh, to 474747. You can either buy gold from them or they will send you an information kit on shifting a portion of your IRA or 401k. Don't shift at all. They won't tell you to do that. 10 to 25%. If you've got $50,000 saved up, put $5,000 into precious metals. If you've got $500,000, you might put $100,000 into precious metals. But do not go all into one thing. Be diversified and be ready for anything. And I do think inflation is coming. You go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Detective Tom, you've only got a minute, buddy, but I'll let you on because I got Michael Oren coming up. You have the floor, Detective Tom.
Okay. First of all, you're too damn nice. You really are. I told you, you're not a wartime concierge. These guys are fighting. You're just not. You're not. Okay, listen. Two things. One, who's got jurisdiction in the impeachment trial?
The Senate.
The Senate. So the Senate, can the Senate go ahead and call a president who's now out of office back to the well of the Senate to hold charges?
They can assert that jurisdiction. I believe President Trump ought to sue to enjoin it immediately in the 11th Circuit and force it. But they're all going to already have trouble because John Roberts has made it known he will not preside.
Well, they don't have a presiding. They don't have a presiding judge who's second. There is no.
They name their own. The vice president would normally preside, which is, of course, another indication that it's a sham.
Okay.
It's a sham. Right, it's an utter sham. It's a joke.
Look, there is no getting along with these people right now. I'm not laying down. How many times do you need to go ahead and get hit in the face to realize that these guys are fighting and you're in a fight and you don't realize it yet.
I am hopeful. I am hopeful that they will be different.
Okay, well, when you run into the Easter Bunny, tell him I said hello.
Tom, I love when you call. Thank you. I got time for one more. Reggie in Des Moines, Washington. You got 30 seconds, Reggie.
Hi, Hugh. I just wanted to say I'm all for unity. Libertarians, Republicans, Green Party, anybody against the Democrats, because the Democrats are in bed with China, and you said China is who is our real enemy. So we do have to wise up and get tough and start fighting now. I say file to impeach.
All right, stay tuned. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. One of the first tests of the Biden administration. Well, what does it do regarding the JCPOA, the long-dead joint program of advanced action or whatever it's called with Iran? That was the Obama administration's greatest misstep. The brainchild of the Metternich of MSNBC, Ben Rhodes. It's discredited. It did not work. And Dr. Michael Oren has written in The Atlantic why it's a bad idea. Good morning, Dr. Oren. Welcome. How are things in Israel?
Sunny. I had my second vaccination last week. Looking better, and the numbers are beginning to go down. That's the good news.
That is good news, but the JCPOA would be bad news. Tell us, summarize
our line was, but we have to see whether they're going to renew this thing. And this article that's printed in The Atlantic, and I think it was very important that it was in The Atlantic, because The Atlantic speaks to liberal America, says exactly why this is a terrible, terrible deal. It's terrible for Israel, terrible for the Middle East. Ultimately, it's terrible for the United States. The notion that it blocks Iran's path to the bomb is completely wrong. It paves Iran's path to the bomb. It doesn't stop Iran from enriching uranium to make bombs, including a great number of bombs in another 7 years when all the sunset clauses kick in. It doesn't dismantle any part of the nuclear infrastructure. We've seen how that works. Iran just decided to start enriching to 20%. It can do that because it has all the machinery. It has the advanced centrifuge. It doesn't take away any of that.
And so yesterday, the first action of Team Biden was to rename the ambassador of the United States to Israel, the ambassador to Israel, the West Bank, and Gaza. What did you read into that?
A mistake. I think it was just a mistake. It happens. In the aftermath of inaugurations, it happens. It's like, sort of mispronouncing Obama's name when he's being sworn in. Things happen.
What is it intended to signal? I mean, does it change any fact on the ground, or is it posturing for that tiny slice of the Democratic Party that is anti-Israel? What is it?
No, because it's ambassador to all three. It would suggest actually just the opposite, that the traditionally the ambassador of the United States to Israel is not in charge of the West Bank and Gaza. That fell under different jurisdictions. It fell under the jurisdiction in the West Bank. It fell under the jurisdiction of the consulate general in East Jerusalem, which acted as a de facto American embassy to the Palestinians. And it was Donald Trump who closed that. I would assume that this administration would reopen that consulate, and that would be separated once again from the jurisdiction of the embassy.
Now, there has not yet been an announcement of who will be the ambassador to Israel, and it matters quite a lot given the ongoing Abraham Accords, and Mauritania and Indonesia were close. Who would you welcome as a likely appointment from Team Biden to take George Friedman or Ambassador Friedman's position?
Listen, there are a number of candidates. I know them personally, and I don't want to single out any one of them. They're all good, really. Everyone I've heard is very, very good. I'm not concerned about them. At the end of the day, ambassadors, with all due respect to ambassadors, we don't make policy. We carry out policy. And that ambassador is going to be a conduit. He's going to be someone who's going to explain it, someone who defends those policies. If the Biden administration does go ahead and reach the JCPOA, that ambassador is going to have to explain that to a country that's going to feel deeply, deeply threatened by that agreement. And that's, by the way, across the board. It's multi-partisan in this country. The left, the right, the up and down, everybody says the same thing about the JCPOA.
As do your Arab partners now. The UAE, the Bahrain, the Saudis, none of them want the JCPOA back. It is truly self-inflicted wound. Quick political question, Dr. Oren. Channel 12 says Likud is up to 30. It's rising. What I gather from polls is what direction are people going? It's rising. New Hope, which is Saar's party, is declining. Yamini Naftali Bennett is holding up or picking up. What's the direction? What's it feel like to you? Because I think these are very important for America.
And I think I told you, I think now several weeks in running, watch Netanyahu go up in the polls. And there are many factors, you know, the sort of the newness has rubbed off now on the Gidon Sar party. But it's not just that. The fact that, you know, I'm now a week after my second vaccination, my wife's getting her second vaccination today, that Israel will be the first fully vaccinated country on earth, much of that is thanks to the prime minister, no matter how you cut it. And the people going back to work, getting their jobs back, getting their lives back, are going to feel beholden to him. And I think
how about vaccination tourism? That is, if you come to Israel, we'll vaccinate you at Ben-Gurion Airport. I think that's a great idea.
Let's get into it, you and me.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, I'd get on a plane, I'd go get on the LL and fly there and get vaccinated, because I'm going to wait forever to get a vaccine in California or D.C.
So I've heard. It's very good. We'll come back.
You know, your HMOs announced they're going to start vaccinating people 35 and older. That's remarkable, Michael Oren.
At 35 and over, and also 16 to 18 at the same time. So I got to tell you, the process is amazing. You go, it's efficient. Everything's timed. You've got at a certain time, you get a number. People are nice. It's clean. You're in and out. Last time we waited 6 seconds to get that vaccination. 6 seconds.
Dr. Michael Oren, after people are done reading your piece on the JCPOA, write one on why it worked in Israel and why it doesn't work anywhere else. I know it's a National Health Service, but I would like to know the lessons that we've learned from Israel on this. Thank you, Dr. Michael Oren. Follow him on Twitter. I have tweeted out his Atlantic piece on the JCPOA and why Team Biden shouldn't go near it. They don't have to pick up every dead carcass from the Obama years. Stay tuned, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.